Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Part 2. My name is Matthew Boyle. Well, Matt to anyone but my parents. I'm from Melbourne, and I've been living here for a few months now. I go to school here on the exchange program. I'm a biology major. It's been... well, coming here to the United States has been great, but that's not really the point. The important thing is... I'm being stalked by a huge predatory cat that no one else can see.
Exactly what do you mean by stalked? Andrew said. Is it chasing you?
Yes and no. It's more like it follows me around. It began 2 weeks ago when I saw it at night in a tree in Golden Gate Park. It chased me and, well, I got away, but ever since then, it keeps appearing in my life. At first, I saw it in glimpses out of the corner of my eye. Like, at school, I'd see a flash of it crossing a hallway or in the bushes on one of the quads. Then I started hearing paws when I walk in a quiet place, like a stairway. Do you know how that sounds? Not like footsteps, but little soft pats with claws.
He raised his hand and tapped the air with his fingers.
Tick, tick, tick.
We're familiar with the sound of a large cat, yeah, Jim said, casting a glance at Andrew, worried that this would rip open some of his mental wounds over Feline. Andrew didn't seem to react, though.
Then I started seeing it outside my window, in the trees on the street. One time, I came home and it was lying in front of the house where I rent a room. I didn't dare to get close. I walked around the corner to a coffee shop and when I came back... it was gone.
And I take it your roommates didn't see it? Andrew said.
Not that they said anyway. And yesterday...
Matt swallowed and licked his lips.
Yesterday, I come home, and it was on my bed, inside the house, just lying there, looking at me.
What did you do?
I ran to the bathroom and closed the door. When I heard my roommate come home, I came out, and it was gone.
Andrew rubbed his chin.
So no one else sees this cougar, this large, dangerous animal, hanging around in a metropolitan area? Or even inside your house? How did it get in and out? Was the window open?
Yes, but not a lot. Not enough so that it could squeeze through.
Mercedes looked at Matt with an empathic smile.
Have you spoken to anyone else about this? Your friends or family?
No. They'd think I was nuts. Especially since...
Since what?
Mercedes asked.
Since yesterday, when it was on my bed. It spoke to me.
Andrew's eyebrows raised almost in sync with Jim's. Mercedes kept her cool and asked,
What did it say?
It said, I can't believe it's you, Matt.
Mercedes could hear that there was a deep frustration in his voice when he continued.
I know this sounds absolutely insane, and it's not like I haven't already thought about how it could just be in my mind. But if it was, then why a cougar? I mean, I've never seen one in my life, except on film.
Jim leaned a little back in his chair.
Talking animals isn't something we see a lot of here either, Matthew, but it's not exactly unknown either.
Call me Matt, please.
Matt looked like he didn't know what to believe, but there was a careful note of curiosity in his voice when he added,
So, do you guys handle supernatural stuff a lot? What sort of things?
Pretty much every day. And as for what they are, we don't discuss other cases with clients.
Jim lit a cigarette.
Right, of course.
Matt hesitated for a moment.
There's something else, too.
What else?
Andrew said.
I think maybe it's best if I show you.
Matt got to his feet.
Do you have a backyard or something?
Jim, Mercedes, and Andrew looked at each other.
Sure, Jim said, pointing over his shoulder at the office door. That way, and through the kitchen.
Matt got to his feet and headed for the door. Mercedes was a step ahead of him, leading the way. Her curiosity was now more than piqued. She led them through the back corridor, the kitchen, and out the back door. The backyard of the Tempest house had never been something Jim had any use for, so it was essentially a small, unmowed lawn and a cement walkway where Andrew usually parked his motorcycle. Around the yard was a fence about 7 feet tall, which Jim had installed in 1983 after a neighbor's kid had begun shooting soccer balls against the back of his house.
Okay, Jim said. Show us what you want us to see.
Matt took a deep breath and clenched his hands into fists. He bent his knees, crouched a little, and jumped. Jim's cigarette fell from his mouth and landed at his feet. From a standing position, Matt leaped up in the air and landed on the wall of the house. The leap took him almost 18 feet into the air, and when he hit the wall, he landed on the edge as gracefully as a cat leaping from a tree branch. He turned his head, looking down at them. Andrew whistled softly.
Holy crap! That's almost 2 stories in 1 leap, and he didn't even strain himself.
Matt looked down at them, cocked his head, and said,
My ears are also really good. I can hear what people are saying from far away, and I can run really, really fast. I've never been able to do anything like this before, but it all started happening on the night I saw the cougar for the first time. Come down, please,
Mercedes said, worrying that he would get stuck up there like a cat in a tree.
Don't hurt yourself.
Matt leaped out from the wall and landed just as gracefully on the ground. He looked a little sheepish, as if he had just done something silly.
I can see why you're not worried this is all in your mind, Jim said. I've got to be honest. I've never seen anyone move like that. No human, anyway.
Oh, I know. It's like it's some kind of superpower. But I didn't ask for it. I haven't been bitten by, I don't know, a radioactive tiger or anything. Where would the powers come from?
I think it's safe to say that the 2 problems in your life, your cat-like powers and a phantom cougar, are probably connected somehow.
Jim scratched his head.
But what exactly is going on is something we need to find out.
So, you'll help me?
Matt asked. His face lit up in a smile.
Of course we will,
Mercedes said. She looked at Jim.
How do we start?
Jim made eye contact with Andrew.
Well, as we've recently agreed on, I don't give the orders around here anymore, so maybe we should have a talk about...
Andrew sighed.
I'm not saying you can't say what you think we should do. You got it all wrong.
Fine, in that case... I figure we need to find out if there's a way to see this phantom cat. We'll keep an eye on you until it shows its face again. I'll see if I can get any kind of help in making something invisible visible. I was thinking that Darcy might be able to help us there. A magic shop seems a good place to start the research.
Maybe, if he's even working.
Mercedes put her hands in her pockets.
You know, at the funeral,
I thought he looked like someone who was about to go home and keel over himself.
Well, assuming he hasn't, I'll pay him a visit. Andrew, how would you feel about being the bodyguard for Matt here, in case the phantom feline shows its whiskers before we're ready? Mercedes, I want you to research any legends about phantom cats in the Bay Area. Maybe this is some kind of ghost or spirit that's been seen before. Does that sound okay with everybody?
Andrew and Mercedes nodded. Matt looked relieved.
Okay, then let's meet back here. What's your schedule like, Matt? Classes, exams, anything like that?
I've got class at 11 and a lecture at 2.
Then let's meet back here at 5. Let's see what we can find out about our mysterious cougar.
When Andrew and Matt had left, Jim went to Mercedes' desk and sat on the edge of it. Mercedes was busy with research, but looked up at him.
What is it?
I should tell you that Andrew and I had a very serious talk about how this company should be run in the future. He has some big issues with, well, how I've handled things lately. He said he didn't want an apology, but I feel I owe you one, you and Charlie.
Mercedes put down her pen and crossed her arms.
Go on.
I didn't take into account. No, that's the wrong word. I thought I knew everything. I planned this whole elaborate scheme to get to Anderson, and I didn't want to jeopardize it by telling anyone. And so you and Charlie ended up getting hurt in the spirit world. I didn't mean for that to happen. I was so sure I was right, and I didn't think of the consequences of what would have happened if I'd been wrong.
Mercedes' brow furrowed, but she didn't say anything.
So, I just want to say that I'm sorry. To you and Charlie, if you'd pass it on. Or I'll even do it in person, if he wants to hear it from me. And if there's anything I can do to make it right, let me know.
Well, a bonus is always nice,
Mercedes said dryly, but then uncrossed her arms.
Jim, I get why you and Andrew are fighting over this. Sure, I was scared and hurt, and I almost died. But I didn't, okay? You saved me like you always do. You saved us. You saved the spirits, and you managed to put Anderson away. As far as I'm concerned, if a bit of pain and fear is the price we pay for that, then I'm okay with paying it. The needs of the many and all that.
But that's just it. I don't think your needs should be outweighed by the needs of the many. You're a very important person to me. So is Charlie, obviously, since he's your boyfriend. So, I'm sorry. And yes, I'll make sure you get a bonus.
Yay!
Mercedes smiled.
And how about next week off with pay?
We'll see what we can do. I'm going to head over to Darcy's store. See you later, okay?
Okay, boss.
Mercedes smiled at him before returning to her computer and research. Jim got up and headed out the door, down the steps, and to his car. Lighting a cigarette, he drove through the city until he came to North Beach, where Darcy's store was located. The sign with Becham, Magic Tricks and Wonder, looked more faded than ever, and Darcy had obviously not put any of the money he had made from Jim into maintaining the building. Jim parked his car and got out, but stood a moment outside the store on the busy street. He had never been close with the wizard, and even though Darcy had helped the team on a couple of occasions, Jim had always felt like the old man on some level had used him for money. But, he mused, sometimes you don't get to choose your friends. And no matter what, Darcy had been the closest thing to a father Feline had, and he should respect that. Her death at the hands of Kronos in Las Vegas had been painful to them all, most of all Andrew. But Darcy had lost more than a friend. He had lost a daughter. He went into the store, which was almost empty. Only a single customer was browsing the herbs and crystals along the side wall. Darcy was behind the counter, and Jim almost lost his breath when looking at him.
Mercedes had said that she thought Darcy looked like he was waiting for death a few days ago. If that was the case, then today the Grim Reaper himself must practically be beating down the old man's door. Darcy's face was the color of ashes. His hand had a tight grip on the counter, with fingers that looked like a bird's talons, and his eyes, which had always been lively and alert, were now dull and half-closed. Jim walked slowly over to him, keeping his voice down so the customer wouldn't hear him.
"Darcy, you don't look well."
"I felt better, but it's no matter. Things will be right soon enough."
Darcy's voice was the only thing unchanged. It was still crisp and British, giving him a kind of quiet authority.
"What do you mean? You're not planning anything crazy, I hope."
"I'm not planning much of anything, Jim. It's a bit too late for that now. What brings you here?"
Jim leaned over the counter.
"You have 5 new messages."
"Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?"
"Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today." "Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?"
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
"I'm looking for something that would allow me to communicate with an animal spirit. Some kind of, well, the spirit of a cougar."
Darcy looked interested, and his eyes got a bit of life in them.
"Any particular cougar?"
"It's basically an invisible large cat that's stalking a client of mine. He's the only one who can see the thing, so I figured there might be a spell to make it visible or able to communicate."
"How will you communicate with it, even if you make it visible? It will still be the spirit of an animal."
"Well, here's the thing."
Jim cleared his throat.
"Apparently, it talks."
Darcy looked over Jim's shoulder at the customer behind him.
"I'm sorry, madam, but we have to close early. Is there anything I can get you before we close?"
The woman stepped over and paid for an amethyst, a tiger's eye, and a bag of herbs with "Improve Your Love Life" on the side. Jim looked away, trying to give her a bit of privacy, but Darcy apparently didn't care.
"Yes, lover's herbs. Very interesting. You must make your partner eat some in food or by itself on a night where the moon is in the first quarter, while you stand naked with a twig of holly in your hand. It should bring his desires to a raging boil. Of course, the nudity itself might do that."
The woman blushed, stuffed the items in her bag, and almost ran from the store. Darcy nodded towards the door.
"Could you turn the sign and lock the door, please?"
Jim did as he asked, and Darcy sat down in an old red chair in the corner. He did not ask Jim to sit.
"A talking cougar, you say? And only one person can see it. Tell me, is this person a big and strong man, a fierce warrior-type person, someone who has won a great many fights and battles?"
"No, I wouldn't say that. Actually, more like the opposite."
"Curious."
Darcy rubbed his chin.
"I could have sworn."
He reached for a bookshelf under one of the counters, strained as if he couldn't get up, and then looked at Jim.
"Would you walk to that cabinet and bring me the large green volume?"
"Sure."
Jim stepped to the shelf, took the book Darcy indicated, and handed it to him.
"Seriously, are you sure you're all right?"
"I'll be fine. All right, let me see."
Darcy opened the book on his bony knees and began to read through pages of what looked to Jim like absolute gibberish. It took him a few minutes, and Jim was about to suggest he come back later when Darcy pointed his finger to one of the pages.
"Ah, yes! The spirits of the land!"
"What land?"
Jim looked puzzled.
This land, from California to the New York Island, as the song goes. Several tribes of Native Americans have told tales of spirits from animals, giving their powers to objects or even people. Often, a warrior would take the name of the animal he wanted to gain favor from, or dress in its skin. This is common all over the world, in fact.
Yeah, like those bear people from Sweden, right?
Berserkers, correct. They would eat certain mushrooms that gave them great strength, dress in bear and wolf skin, and attack with fierce savagery. Here in the United States, the spirits were often bears, coyotes, wolves, and cougars.
So you think it's something more than a large dead cat?
You told me it spoke. The old legends tell of the spirits of the land communicating directly with their chosen warriors, which means they had to speak to them in their own language. And if you say this spirit does that, I might be inclined to think that it had some kind of connection to them.
Do you have anything I can read about those spirits? A book in English, perhaps?
Sadly, not much. The Native Americans never were big on putting down things in English, and most of the legends that were written down were changed to suit the missionaries' ideas. But I'll see what I can do. I've got some old legends, and I know about making a spirit of an animal visible. Perhaps that should be of some help to you, and I can write an incantation down that might do the trick.
Darcy tried to lift himself out of the chair and then looked at Jim with a pained smile.
Could I perhaps have you lend me a hand to get to my feet, Jim?
Jim reached out his hand, and Darcy took it, getting up. His fingers felt dry and bony. When the wizard had gotten to his feet, he looked Jim in the face, and his eyes widened again.
My goodness! You've aged!
That obvious, huh? Yes, I have. Side effect of our little adventure in the spirit world. So I understand if you're feeling the effects of the last few days, but if there's anything I can do...
There isn't. Now, let me find you what you'll need.
Darcy began opening drawers, pulling out crystals, rocks, and herbs, and finally scribbled a chant down on a piece of paper.
You will also need a sacred circle, which you should be able to draw yourself. Here are the instructions.
He handed Jim an old book.
Page 45.
Okay, thanks. What does this come out to, then?
Oh, nothing. Let's call it a friendly discount.
Now I really know something is wrong. I've never known you to do anything for free.
Darcy took a deep breath and looked away for a moment before again catching Jim's eyes.
I don't suppose what I'm feeling is alien to you. The feeling of having outlived yourself. Feline told me that you yourself were ready to end your life a while ago.
She got that wrong. It was all a trick to fool Anderson Kramer, but... I get what you mean. There have been a lot of times in the last years I thought it would be better if I could just die and be done with the world. But Darcy, I was wrong. There's so much to live for. Even if you grieve... Even if you lose friends and loved ones, there are still things worth living for.
Darcy gave him a tired smile.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Jim. That means that you found some of what you were missing all these years. I, however, am in the opposite position. I've lost everything I held dear. We all have a time and a place. I believe mine is just approaching a bit faster than I had anticipated.
But Andrew told me you could prolong your life with magic.
Prolong, yes. But there must always be an end, Jim. Without it, the journey is meaningless. Which reminds me...
He went to another drawer, walking in shuffling steps, and pulled out a small bottle about the size of a soda can. It was filled with a golden liquid and stuffed with a cork, sealed with wax.
This is for you. Well, not for you as such, but for you to keep.
What is it? Jim picked it up and turned it over in his hand.
Something you might find useful one day. Or someone else might. You'll find out. Keep it safe for now.
Jim looked a little mystified at the old man.
Could we stop with the wise old magician bit and you just tell me what it is?
Very well. As you said, I have been able to prolong my life with magic. More specifically, potions. Even more specifically, that potion.
Jim looked at the little bottle.
So, this is the elixir of life or something like that?
In a sense. Or the Philosopher's Stone, if you're more classically inclined. A few drops every year will slow the aging process immensely. If one wished, one could be young and healthy for over 100 years with that bottle.
But why are you giving it to me?
Jim put the bottle down on the counter again.
I don't need it. I'm already immortal.
2 reasons. One, I don't want anyone else getting their hands on it. And who better to guard a potion of eternal youth than one already eternally young, who doesn't need it? 2.
Darcy began to cough and had to reach for a glass of water behind the counter before continuing.
2. Feline has told me about your liaison. You might come to a point where the young lady would consider taking some of it to stay the same age as you, if you get my meaning.
I'm not sure, I...
Jim began, but then understood what the wizard was saying.
You mean Rhea? She could drink this potion and become young forever? No, she could drink this potion and be young, or at least slow her aging process considerably, for a very long time.
Jim squeezed his fingers around the bottle. It was something that he had thought about many times. What would happen if he and Rhea stayed together for years? She'd begin to outgrow him, getting older and older every day while he remained the same. Or, considering his new gray temples, perhaps not entirely the same. A potion that could stop the aging process sounded almost too good to be true, and he looked at Darcy.
What's the catch?
What catch?
Don't tell me that you can live practically forever and not have to pay some kind of price for it.
Darcy smiled, not a smile of humor, but a sad and lonely smile.
The catch, as you call it, is the same as the effect. You felt it yourself in your long life, I reckon. Seeing the world change around you, your friends and loved ones growing older and dying off, and yet you remain unchanged, outside time, outside the normal world. Not long ago, you yourself wished for little else than to escape your immortality. You took dangerous assignments, fought in several wars, took risks you didn't need to, all because, deep down, you were tired of being alive and longed for release.
Jim's brow furrowed. He didn't know how Darcy knew about those things, and he didn't ask.
Using the potion is something one needs to consider very carefully, because once a person starts taking it, one needs to go on taking it. At some point, obviously, that bottle will run out. But there are wizards in the world that can make more. One need only find them. Or accept that when the bottle is empty, one's life will soon be over.
Is that what's happening to you?
Jim pointed to Darcy.
Is this what it looks like when you stop taking the potion?
It's different in every person, but essentially, yes. Although I sped up the process a bit by taking other tonics. Remember that this potion does not make you immortal, only unaging.
I see.
Jim put the bottle in his pocket.
So, how long? For you, I mean.
A few days or weeks, I would imagine. Although it could be faster. In fact, I hope so. Right now, every moment is more unpleasant than the last one.
Well, I don't exactly know how to say this, but... I mean, it's been an honor knowing you.
Darcy smiled.
Thank you. Even if it's not true, it's nice to hear.
If there's anything we can do...
Jim began, but Darcy held up his hand.
There isn't. However, let me know what happens with the spirit of the cougar. I'm quite curious.
I will.
Jim reached out his hand to Darcy.
Thank you for all your help. I mean that.
Darcy shook his hand, and Jim could feel it tremble a bit.
You're welcome. Now, if you don't mind, I think I'll lie down for a while.
Sure. Take care, okay?
Jim left the store and heard the lock click when Darcy closed it behind him.
If this is what growing old and sick is like, Jim thought, I'm glad I've never experienced it.